yes, I'm going through a difficult time, but it's worth it. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, it's about a life worth living. So yeah, Paul's in prison, and Paul's gone through all these challenging times, but he says, holding fast the word of life, so in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. If he has to suffer in order to help the Christians at Philippi, he's like, I'll do it. Because that's worth it. The pain I feel, the misery I'm going through is worth it if in the end you make it to heaven. If I've lived a life worth living, you're going to suffer. But that won't change that it was worth living. It's worth going through. And so that's why, even though it doesn't talk about joy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, can't you hear it in the words of Paul? I have finished the race. I fought the fight. I kept the faith. He's looking at it, he's saying, I did it. I did what I'm supposed to do. And even though Satan did everything he could to get him to quit, he didn't quit. He beat him. And there's some joy in that, even in the midst of the pain and the suffering. And the fifth thing, how can we rejoice while suffering? As we dwell on the future. And there are a few ways we could look at that. So instead of, and I know I've said this before, and I'm intimately aware of this because I don't do it very well, but if you focus on the pain while running, you stop running. I'm really good at focusing on the pain, so I don't start running. But if we could dwell on the future, if we could focus on our goals, we can endure a lot. And we can even enjoy it. Craziest thing, runners do it voluntarily. And at the end, they don't get to the end and say, what was I thinking? I haven't figured that out. They're all happy. We find out that there's purpose to our suffering. It makes us stronger. And that's the answer. This is the classic passage. I mean, the passage that challenges us. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, right? Why? Well, what does it say? James chapter 1, verse 20. It's about thinking about what the result is. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You're going through something. Yes, it's horrible. It's hard. It's making you better. It's making you stronger. Focus on what it's accomplishing rather than on how horrible it is to get there. Dwell on the future. Dwell on the fact that it's going to come to an end. It's not forever. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, when Paul, we looked at this passage a second ago, Paul's rejoicing at the fact that Jesus is being taught, that souls are being saved. He's focused on God. But he also focuses on himself in the sense that says, this is going to come to an end. So he says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers, the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything. He goes on, he's saying, look, I know you guys are praying for me, and I know God's going to answer it, and I know this is going to come to an end. And misery is easier to have joy in the midst of when you realize it's not the end of the world. And it's not for the rest of everything. It has an end. So in Psalm 30 in verse 5, this is challenging because he's talking about God being against him, the struggle of facing God's wrath, but there's hope. And so he says, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. You focus on the future, on the morning. And of course, when we focus on the future, it's not on, you know, I'm going to get a job eventually. Eventually the kids will stop being teenagers and life will get better. It's not on just this timeline and this life. our goal ultimately as we think about heaven. And as long as you're thinking about heaven, shouldn't you be able to have some joy in suffering? So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. In this passage in which the Hebrew author is telling them they need to have more strength and endure more, he's letting them know, yeah, I know you guys already have endured something, but look at how they endured it. Hebrews 10, verse 34, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. What an odd thing to say. Accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. I am pretty sure that that is not them saying, as somebody came and said, you're a Christian, I'm going to take your land, and the government has given me the right to do it. And the Christians weren't saying, whee! That's wonderful. They're not doing that. What it's saying is, you can take my land, you can't take my joy. You can take my stuff, but I will have joy through it all, because you can't take that. And why is that? Well, what did he say? Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Yeah, you're taking this home? Try taking the next one. No one can. Satan can't. All the governments in the world cannot take our next home. And so here you've taken this, and I just have all that much more comfort in this. I have a lasting possession, a better possession, and it is mine, promised to me from God. And I find joy in looking to the future. So it's about perspective. And what happens is, no matter what you're going through, assuming you're not suffering for wickedness, assuming you're not being punished for doing something wicked, but instead, whether it's just a persecution for your faith or just the things that happen because we're alive in a sinful world and we get sick and we have family members who get sick and we go through all this sorts of trouble, none of that can take away any of this. Anything you face cannot take away God's triumph. He's still going to be victorious, and that should make us happy. It doesn't take away God's love for us, that He observes us, that He helps us, and that should make us happy. It doesn't take away your worth if you're suffering for the sake of Christ. You have proven your worth, and it won't take away that worth. It doesn't take away your triumphs of who you are as a righteous individual, and ultimately it does not take away your future. And so the Bible's telling us this. God is telling us this. Rejoice always. You know why? Because you always have a reason to. As long as you think about the right things and are on the right path. So our task is to not get distracted by what's happening to us and to not let circumstances dictate how we feel. What's the benefit of suffering and having joy? Endurance. Fixing our eyes on the author and perfecter of the faith, that's Jesus, who for the joy before him endured the cross. Jesus didn't focus on the nails. He focused on heaven and you and us being together, us all being together with him in heaven. You want to endure what you're facing? Have joy. And you can take on anything. Anything Satan throws at you, anything the world throws at you, anything you just happen to go through. If we have joy, we can get through it. Now, of course, there's an understanding there. We have joy in God, and it is through His power and His faith and His power and His promises and our faith in them that we have that joy and that we have that hope. Task this week is to be a positive-minded people, to be a people that will rejoice under all circumstances. And that's a decision we make here, right now, not waiting till tomorrow to see what kind of day it is, but right now determining every day is great, because every day I'm getting one step closer to my ultimate home, which is described in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3-4, a place where there's no more death, where there's no more tears, where there's no more pain. and where God is, and we're with Him. And that's a happy thought to think about. That gives me something to look forward to. And I sure do want to spend my eternity with you. And I encourage you to follow God. If you're not a Christian, we tell you, if you want to have something to look forward to, you need to come to God. You need to set aside your life, your selfish ways, and you need to serve God and make Him the Lord of your heart and your life. Now, the way we do that is if you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you believe He's the one that God sent, and that He died on the cross and was resurrected, the way we follow Him is we start off by putting aside our past, our sinful ways, and we repent. And we make this declaration that says, I believe in Jesus. We confess. And then we enter into that relationship with Him by being baptized into Christ, and your sins are washed away. And you come up from that water, and you know what you find in the book of Acts when the people come up from the water? They're rejoicing. Their sins are gone, and they know where they're headed. You can have that joy this morning. If you're a Christian and you have fallen aside, you've lost your perspective, you've given in to sin, our loving Father wants you back. And we hope you'll answer the call. Won't you repent? Won't you return? As we stand and as we sing.